Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hey guys, I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that we have partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. To me, it seems pretty simple. When you get into the process of buying a home or you're trying to figure out your personal plan for the next 3 to 5 years, that should be an easy process. And when you walk away from that, you should feel really secure about the deal you're getting and who you're working with. And that's why we've teamed up with Louis. He has been doing it for years now. He knows exactly what he's doing throughout the entire process. And the best thing is he takes an educational approach with his clients. He makes time for you, he's relatable, and he wants you to get the best deal possible. Whether you're just trying to figure out where you are in the process or you're literally ready to buy right now, Louis is your answer. I keep hearing it's a great time to buy right now and get into real estate, buy low, sell high, or something like that. Louis knows more than me, and he's ready to talk with you today. We've set up a personal email for Wash Up Walk-Ons listeners to contact Louis at hawks@gohomeside.com. That's hawks@gohomeside.com. Or you can call Louis at 515-238-9949 to start the process. This week on the Wash Up Walk-Ons, episode 133, we talk about the Hush Blackwell report that delved into the Iowa program, the racial disparity issues. We talk about the BARDA and KF press conference, and we touch on Luka Garza's decision and how that affects Iowa basketball as well. Entertaining episode. We hope you enjoy as always. What's happening? Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode 133 of the podcast, a.k.a. the We're Still Not Canceled podcast, a.k.a. the Y'all Thought We Were Talking Out of Our Ass podcast, but also the a.k.a. Turns Out We Knew What We Were Talking About podcast. And I really think that's just where I'm going to get us started at, Kluver. Narrate us right through this one, bud.
Yeah, well, what do you think about that? Like, So there's a lot to talk about, friends and family of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Hashtag Walk On Army, by the way. Seen it a couple times. Walk On Army.
I like that. I like that a lot.
It's a thing. It's a thing. So family, we've got a lot to discuss. First of all, on the docket, August 3rd is nearing, and one of the topics I want to touch on is the best basketball player in the nation, Luka Garza, has an insane decision to make in the next 3 days by Monday. Now, granted, there's some stipulations to that decision that I believe there's some loopholes there. There was a 10-day notice post that. I don't know. There's some other stuff, but we'll discuss that in a second because, you know, we'd like to have that guy on our team. Right, Kevin? Right?
I mean, if he comes back, it could be a decent year for Hawkeye basketball.
If he comes back, we're going to the Final Four.
Well, we're going to the Final Four, and we might win the whole goddamn thing.
On accident.
Or purpose. So we're going to get to there. But Drake said, the AKA, we knew what we were talking about the whole time podcast. And addressing this, the Hush Blackwell report on the Iowa football situation was released today on July 30th, Thursday. And accompanying that was a KF podcast would be insane. Jesus Christ, I just said it again. A fucking
press conference
done by Barta and KF, the man, the myth, the legend, the captain, Kirk's dogs, walk on army. And so there's a lot to discuss. Mainly, KF was asked a specific question about a former teammate of ours, Akram Wadley. We did almost a whole podcast on him, mostly me. I talked about him and Robert T. Green, Bobby Green, all that situation. And a lot of people were happy about the one statement, and I'm going to play it here. Make sure that you guys can hear this as well. But this is Kirk Ferentz's full response to being asked about Akram Wadley and what he had to – and Kirk's thoughts on what Akram's claims were.
Surprise. Now, I don't want to comment on an individual that I commented on, a couple who I spoke with and did not identify who I spoke with on June 6th. But it was a surprise and also – to some degree, surprise, because some of the things.
Oh, see there now. Let's digest that a little bit.
To some degree, what?
To some degree, ooh, he was.
To some degree, I wanted to punch him in the face. Is that what you wanted to say?
Absolutely. He was gonna get a little edgy there, and then he pulled it back and just said surprise again. Coming from three guys who know exactly. I mean, we've sat in how many meetings with Coach Kirk Ferentz? I mean, we know exactly the pulse of that man, how he's feeling, what his thoughts are, if he has more to say, if he feels like he got out what he wanted to say. And I let me tell you, it's not hard to, for those of you who've never sat in a meeting, it's not hard for you guys to tell that Coach Ferentz was holding back severely, because he is a legendary man who has legendary constraint, much more than we on this podcast have. Kevin, your thoughts?
I was just about to say his constraint level is, you know, 50,000 times that of what we had. This man literally just sat back and took it for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his chance. He's got the mic and he says, I was surprised. Imagine the grit that takes.
Oh,
I was surprised when this man has been fanning you out to the dogs for the last 2 months.
KF,
and, you know, the report always comes back. He's like, it's kind of bullshit. And you have your chance. And it's like, literally just put the dagger in him. But you know what? He's a better man than I am. He's a better man than all three of us.
And he's not a mortal. He's not a mere mortal. He's a man with mythical powers.
So he says, I was surprised. And then he says he was surprised again. So we'll continue.
Which is flat out not true. Surprised, because some of the things were just flat out not true.
Oh, and there it is. Now, this is where I was getting at the top of the podcast. A lot of you have said that so now we go back to when I had the Akram episode and I was calling out that I knew some shit wasn't true, as Coach Ferentz just stated himself. And I don't want to come off wrong here, but I would like, I have no dog in the, I mean, I do have a dog in this fight. I'm Kirk's dog, but
Kirk's dogs.
We're Kirk's dogs.
We so are the dogs in the fight.
Call us biased, but I'm no longer attached to this university. You know, if the football program at Iowa was torn to the ground, it would truly, in a legitimate way, in any way that would truly affect me financially or reputation wise, it would do nothing to me. It would do much more to other people. I would be a non-factor part of that. Now, would I be sad? Would I be pissed off about that? Yeah. Is that part of my identity? Yes. But, you know, I would be okay. So I and for that matter, Drake and Kevin have no reason, you know, back on those episodes with when we talked about the situation or when we initially came out with our thoughts, there's zero reason for us to lie about anything or try and push a narrative about anything. Our whole goal during this entire process has been the truth. All right. We admitted, so, you know, I admitted more about Doyle after self-reflection and kind of our time there than I would have ever thought I would have admitted about Doyle. And my thoughts have shifted a little bit. I just want the truth, right? And so I've gotten a bunch of comments today on that video saying, oh, you called it, Tyler. You called it. The Akram thing was false. It's like, I didn't call anything. I didn't call anything. I'm not guessing. I know. Everything I say is what I know, all right? I'm not the Astros 2020. I'm the Astros 2017. I know what's coming. Okay.
All right. How long did it take for you to come up with that line?
I'll be honest. I said it to Drake before the podcast, and he said, if you don't use that, then you're a pussy. But it makes it no less true. I am the Astros 2017. I got the buzzer under my shirt, meaning I've played. I saw what Akram and all of them – I know what's true with what's being said and what's not, most of it. And so we'll keep going here. But I can tell you this, KF wanted to absolutely explode. He got a little piece, right? He gets to say that some of it wasn't true, and that's as far as he'll ever go. I watched it live, and it made me fully aroused to watch him be able to watch him be able to say that. Because I know that this man has been hurt. And now he goes on, it gets even better.
Not true. I mean, we have never held back a black card from any player. I'm not a great record keeper. Ben Hansen is meticulous. Never happened. It was stated, I think, that I said derogatory things in a press conference about an individual. Those are a matter of record. It's, you know, some of you may have looked those up. And I'll stand behind what I said.
Ooh. Oh, he gives the shoulder shrug. Dude, I'm watching the video as this happens. He goes, he goes, you know, that's a matter of record, huh? That's a matter of record, okay? He's telling in the nicest way possible. I'm sorry. A lot of you, I've gotten a few comments lately about the cussing on this, and I'm going to really try and tone it down. I know I'm going to try and be a professional from now on, but this is KF saying in the most professional way possible, check the tape. Check the tape, motherfucker. I haven't said anything. Carry on.
Those press conferences, and as recently as May 26, his mom and I were having, you know, good conversations. So I had no sense it was that bad, quite frankly.
Wait for it.
Yeah. Several. Now I'm back to two.
Oh! Oh! He says, well, hold on. One more. I got to get one more punch in. Oh, I love this. He goes, I'll go back.
Now I'm back to two. We got back from California, conversations with his mom about trying to get him placed in the XFL. Work that probably his agent should have been doing, but trying to help. And I knew some people in the XFL, so I think he went to Atlanta as a result of that conversation. So,
yeah. Oh, he says, by the way, you know, said it was a nightmare playing for Iowa football. Well, congrats that I gave you that shot in the XFL, huh? Congrats. I'm pretty sure he went.
We got to press pause on this real quick. Jake wants to say something to the fans.
Oh, my God.
You guys got new Wi-Fi.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for
new Wi-Fi.
Jake Gervais upgraded his Wi-Fi.
On Iowa.
Go Hawks.
And Iowa, go Hawks. He's had enough of being harassed on Twitter about it.
It worked, boys. It worked.
Hey, that's on you guys, walk on Army. That's on you guys.
Anyway, back to this. He goes, he says, back after we got back from California, we were in talks. I was helping him out. I had some contacts in the XFL. Probably some work his agent should have been doing. Ooh! Like that, KF. I like that a lot. And then he says, I'm pretty sure he went to Atlanta as a result of that. So basically like, hey.
Nothing like KF letting the world know that he was literally the reason that this kid got a job.
Man, so anyone watching or listening, you can tell I'm happy. And I'm not happy that this is a thing that has happened to the program. I am not happy that a lot of former teammates of mine felt like they were not treated fairly, and a lot of those claims are relevant and have truth to them. I am happy that KF has finally gotten to take his shot back at some of the bullshit that has gone on in this. So, man, that was KF's comments on the Akram stuff, and I know for a fact. If you let that man talk a little bit, you ask situation by situation about some of the stuff that was said by individual guys that he would have some thoughts on it. But
I mean, it just goes back to what we said the first podcast we did. You know, take what you see on Twitter with a grain of salt. Acknowledge that there was a problem, but you know what you see on Twitter is not reality.
Yeah, it's. It almost comes back to the Twitter rule of like, you got some guys in their feelings too far in the feelings. Those Drake knows about it. Those Twitter fingers come out. Right. And there is no, for lack of a better term, there's not a lot of structure when the Twitter fingers come out. Right. It's just emotion filled tweeting. One of the things that KF was trying to and the staff were trying to kind of prevent, because oftentimes, especially when you're playing Division I football, emotions get charged after a big game or after,
maybe a tough loss. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you say you put someone in body bags when you're on a high.
I will say though,
maybe you're so depressed after a loss, you come out and say you wish you were in a body bag. It goes
or both. You go respond to like one of the trolls in your mentions, like it's yeah, like I gotta say I commend the guys so far. 2 months in, nobody said anything dumb. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean Keith Duncan's got some dumb tweets out there, but
stupid tweets that. He's not dumb. They are dumb tweets, but the similar to the way that I kind of run my Twitter, the intent is not dumb. He's not stupid. He's gaining a following and causing faux drama
by tweeting dumb shit
that, you know, it's smart of him building a brand. But you're right. It's 2 months in and he goes on to say, he is asked about in the press conference today. He goes on to say that with the Twitter thing, I don't remember the specific question because it wasn't just about releasing the ban. It was about something else related to Twitter. He said, moving forward, they're going to take an educational approach to the Twitter thing. So obviously that's smart, right? If you're going to allow something that you haven't allowed before, there needs to be some sort of sit down. Kind of the problem with this whole thing is like, what are the expectations? What is exactly expected of you in this certain situation when it comes to Twitter? They need to know exactly what's expected of them and exactly what will put them on the wrong side of things and what those punishments or consequences will be. And I think they'll be fine. I think in this world, again, kids know how to use social media better than 2010 when Twitter was 3 years old and
I have a lot of confidence that these guys are going to use social media in a more constructive manner than Robert T. Green and Akram.
Yeah, probably a little bit more productive. Yeah. So
low bar there, but good job. Yeah.
Yeah. Low bar. So that was what we wanted to kind of start off with is like, I didn't call anything I appreciate you guys giving me the props of calling it, but that's like, it's like I had chicken for lunch today.
Like, and
I
watching a movie. It's like watching a movie you've seen before and predicting the ending.
Right. It's exactly right.
That happened to me one time in a UFC bet with my uncle. He had a UFC fight taped, and I was like, oh, man, I'll bet you anything this guy wins. He's like, all right, how much you want to bet? And I was wrong.
If your uncle actually collected the money from you, that's hilarious. And he's a scumbag at the same time.
That is scummy. That's a bet, man.
That is scummy. Yeah, man. So that's the happenings of today. We're going to get into the report, the Hush Blackwell report. I have it pulled up. Now, it is 28 pages long, and that is the most reading I've done in a while, boys, in a while. I usually read like 15, max 20 pages a day if I'm reading a book. 28, it's getting a little lengthy, but it's important stuff. Before we get to that, though, let's talk a little bit about the energy. Let's go off topic. Let's fire it up a little bit here. The energy that we brought into this podcast, we're moving. The Wash of Walk-Ons are making some what you call moves.
And listen to me, folks. Listen to me, folks. I'm talking to both ladies and gentlemen here. Ladies, I'm talking to you if you have a husband or a man. And men, I'm talking to you if you have a lady that you would like to spice things up with and, you know, make things a little bit better. We're about to have a new sponsorship in this podcast, and we need you guys to go off. We need you guys to go off both in your personal lives and for us using our soon-to-be new promo code. I won't say yet.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it for us.
I'm just going to say, like, from someone who doesn't know what you're talking about, it sounds pretty dirty.
Yeah,
sounds
like
about to say Adam and Eve is sponsoring a podcast.
And listen, I hope to get an Adam and Eve and Blue Chew sponsorship and maybe even Roman Swipes at some point.
That'd be great.
For now, Manscaped will have to do.
Hey, no free ads, man.
Yeah. So Drake,
you're gonna have to block that out.
Might have to bleep it, but we're making some moves. We did not reach out for this one. We were contacted, and we're very excited. It's putting us on the road to some legit. I mean, you guys have heard the ads. I've, like I said, with Louis, our mortgage guy. In fact, I think Kevin might be.
Have you started running those ads yet?
Yeah, those ads. Yeah, they've gone for like three.
Oh yeah, man. I've been working with Louis. Louis's the man. Louis's helping me get my first house.
Yeah, there you go with Kevin. He's literally helping Kevin. And Louis, our mortgage guy with Kehoe Mortgage Group, or Key Mortgage Group, he's a cool dude just like us, and he knows his shit and we don't. So if you need anything,
Louis Lenz,
baby, Louis Wicked at L Wicked at GoHomeSide.com. Check him out. We're making moves, and so that's one sponsorship. Another sponsorship from a big company, like a legit paid sponsorship, man. And we just need one domino to fall for this thing to kind of tumble. So,
and listen, like 3 weeks ago, we were canceled on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
just remember that we went from the coffin that people say, the proverbial Twitter coffin, and we set up in that sumbitch like the Undertaker.
Yeah,
pulled our eyes back and said, "Surprise!"
Might have to insert his intro music. So that's exciting. Also, assuming that now that this report is done. KF, hopefully I really hope the coaches feel a little less stressed that now that this is over, this is out, we're moving on, right? Kevin said, tweeted a couple hours before we recorded this, Coach KF is my head coach until they put me in the dirt. Now let's play some football. And that's exactly how I feel.
Damn straight, motherfuckers. Sorry about the language.
It's okay. We are hopefully going to get the final okay on the Kirk's Dogs shirts very, very soon. We are also hopefully going to get word on the Hawks by a Million flags very, very soon. I am trying. Trust me, I've sent strongly worded emails to UI licensing asking why they okayed the design for t-shirts, and now that we're trying to get it approved for a flag, it makes it any different. So hopefully those things happen. And I know we keep saying this, like merch in a couple weeks, but we keep just getting ghosted by these supposedly respectable organizations, really just UI licensing. And so hopefully sometime in the first couple weeks here of August, we can have a merch update that's like, hey, we're going live with merch. The Kirk's Dogs shirts are simple, but so sweet. And who knows? Maybe we'll sneak the walk-on army in there. Who knows?
We might have to have walk-on army special shirts only for the Patreon.
Yeah, we might have
true army veterans.
You're right. So we'll see on that. Now let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about
Kluver. I just want to give you a quick shout out, man, because me and Drake don't do anything behind the scenes, and it's all you. So I know we give you shit, but none of this happens without you. So
yeah,
quick shout out to Kluver.
And that's why I'll be taking 100% of the profits.
Burn this motherfucker to the ground before I see
it. Unfortunately, I think when we signed the LLC papers, it was like 34, 33, 33. So tough one for me, booze.
But I did give you that one extra percent because there was a lot of foreshadowing into the fact that you were going to do way more than us.
So yeah, I probably should have bargained for like 40, 30, 30 on this, but
we would have given it to you, but guess what? It's 34, 33, 33.
I tried to be a nice guy. Let's go back to this report now. The guys have read the report. The Wash Up Walk-Ons have done the reading. And this is something that is, maybe interesting. So let's go over this. We're not going to read the whole report. We're going to give our thoughts on some of the more highlighted issues. Now, the first thing to me here is basically if you haven't
read – Explain this report to them, Kluver. Explain it in detail what the report actually means for people who just skimmed it or just got info off Twitter.
Sure. And I'll just read their kind of synopsis of what this is and then kind of give you the layman's walk-on version. Report of external review. The University of Iowa retained Hush Blackwell to conduct an external review of alleged racial inequities within the football program, including mistreatment of black student athletes and a racially charged climate. We recognize that this matter has generated widespread attention and strong emotions have been expressed about the football program on various media platforms. I'll take that as a shout out to Wash Up Walk-Ons. Probably not. Our task was to set this aside and impartially examine the football program's culture and perceptions of current and former players with respect to these matters. This report provides a summary of the information gathered during that review. Okay, so here's where it gets interesting, and I feel like it actually it just kind of becomes boring, right? So it says a few other things. Some of the specific allegations and incidents we describe were corroborated by numerous witnesses. Other specific allegations and incidents, however, were disputed and or uncorroborated. We were not asked to determine the veracity of any specific allegation or incident. Therefore, our reciting of a given allegation or incident is in this report is not a determination that the allegation or incident occurred as reported. So what does that mean? That means that basically they hired a law firm to just be an unbiased third party and just publish in a professional way everything that was already said without finding any evidence that it was true or not true.
I was literally thinking about leading off the podcast by just talking about how the university could have saved themselves a ton of money.
Right.
If they just would have paid us a couple dollars to do the exact same thing.
Dude, KF, like Barda, we're right here.
Well, we did a month ago. We put it out in video version of the same shit that this law firm just did. Hey, guys. Pay us a couple dollars, Hausch and Blackwell. You got half your information from our podcast.
So, in simple terms, we basically got a third party, not anybody associated with the university on the would-be side of the coaches or the staff, not anybody on the side of the players or anyone coming out and speaking there, just some random third party, unbiased, to basically gather all the info and publish it professionally. That's it. So, it, you know, it talks about all the stuff. They interviewed 111 people, including 45 current, 29 former members, Kevin being one of those members.
Hello.
You know, they give background information. There's a 42% of the people interviewed were white, 52% were black, 6% were something else. I guess they interviewed
Miguel.
Miguel and AJ Epinesa. I don't know. That was it. Yeah, so those are kind of the breakdown. And so they go into a bunch of things, and I just my feeling was that this report, and you guys can give your thoughts, my feeling was that report was in no way negative. I think what we were looking for is a lot of people were like, ooh, it's going to get juicy.
People were looking for the smoking gun or the report to say this is all bullshit, one or the other, pretty
right.
much.
Right, and it stuck right in the middle at, hey, we're just repeating the information, you know? They do give their thoughts, and let me scroll down to their thoughts. Conclusion, and we're going to talk about some of the stuff in between here in a second. The current and former players who participated in this review described a range of personal experiences, both good and bad, within the Iowa football program. Many are passionate about the program and have had a positive and rewarding experience. Virtually all the players spoke positively about their position coaches and the influence those coaches had on their lives, both personally and athletically. Yet, numerous players described feeling unhappy and unwelcome, citing to a program culture that they perceive requires strict conformity and rigid adherence to the mold of an ideal player, a mold that many black players felt they could never truly fit because it was built around the stereotype of a clean-cut white athlete from a Midwestern background. Additionally, numerous current and former players and coaches of all races described an environment in which a small number of coaches felt empowered to bully and demean athletes, especially black athletes. In some, the program's rules perpetuated racial or cultural biases and diminished the value of the cultural diversity. The program over-monitored players. I have a little issue with that one. To the point that they experienced heightened anxiety and maintained a culture that allowed a small group of coaches to demean players. We have separately provided personnel reports. It says players are cautiously optimistic that the coaching staff is listening to their concerns and have genuine conversations with them around difficult and complicated issues. Finally, both the athletic director and head coach Ferentz expressed their commitment to rebuild trust with players and foster an environment that embodies the department's values of diversity, equity, and inclusion. They basically said they came away and, you know, in conjunction with the press conference, there's no other personnel changes. No staff has been fired. Brian Ferentz is not canceled. Seth Wallace is not canceled. And anybody else is not canceled. KF is not canceled. So for everybody looking for the world to continue burning and they wanted a little extra gasoline on the fire, you're not getting it. All right. Sorry. Cause guess what? It kind of, Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. This report.
You want to read the part with the pull out the survey statistics?
Yeah, I do.
That was
the survey statistics were fantastic. And while you find those, one particular statistic that I found particularly false was the fact that black players thought that they were drug tested more often. I can tell you that I for sure was drug tested somewhere between 20 and 25 times throughout.
Rightfully so.
Throughout the first 4 years of my career, I didn't get drug tested one single time after I broke my leg. Not once. Shout out.
It's probably when they should have started.
That's really when they should have started.
That's when the TRT would have come into play.
But
I did actually learn this. Oh, go ahead.
That's all I was going to say is that that's not a real statistic.
I did actually learn something interesting. One thing that I already knew is that, you know, they test people more often if they test positive once.
Right.
Or if they have a diluted sample.
Correct. And I have some things to talk about.
Now I understand why I was tested so many times senior year, because your boy was fucking pounding water back in 2017.
All right. So I have some things to say about the drug testing as well. Which we never touched on in the original, you know, that claim had been out there, but we never touched on it. I'm going to read some statistics real quick. I want you to keep in mind while reading these statistics that if you go to another university, you would not find across the board on these numbers, you would not find a place that was 100% on probably any of these numbers. And so incredible scores, good scores, great scores, percentages on these numbers are in the 90s, even in the 80s. Because when you have, like we said, I think I did the math, there's been like almost 1,000 players to come through in the last 20 years of KF. You got to imagine that maybe 10 of them, you know, maybe even 50 of them, probably they don't feel like their career worked out the way it should have, you know? So 2018, 2019. This is the summary data from student athletes about their experiences in the program. Again, majority black. Strength and conditioning staff received no ratings of poor or below average. Head coach, over 90% responded yes to whether they would become comfortable or they would be comfortable approaching the coach with a personal or team concern. Position event assistant coaches, 90.32% responded yes to whether they would be comfortable approaching the coach with a personal or team concern. So athletes approaching assistant coaches, position coaches. Four players said they had been subject to bullying or hazing by a member of the coaching staff. 95.7% responded that they had not. Find me another place that doesn't have four kids that thought that they were a little bullied. I mean, it seems pretty, I don't know. You make your assumption, right? 2019, 2020, so in the last year, strength and conditioning staff received no ratings of poor or below average. Head coach, again, 90% responded yes to whether they would be comfortable approaching him. Up to 92% on assistant coaches. Two players said that they had been subject to bullying or hazing. 98.04% had not. You tell me. This has only been out there for 2 months. You tell me in the last 2 years. Those from 2018, 2019. Those numbers don't scream a bullying, demeaning culture to me. I don't know. Let's go back. So, you guys have any thoughts on those?
I mean,
That's not my opinion. Those are numbers.
The numbers speak for themselves is all I'm going to say.
And those are from
anonymous service.
Yeah. So, again, you know what? I would take all of those numbers were right around 90%. Some of them, you know, we had a 92 and a 98 or 94 and a 98. I'd take those percentages on a test all day, mostly because I never got
better than what you're going to get cheating off Drake. That's for sure.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
You cheat off me, you get an 84 in a trash can. You cheat on this test or you, whatever, you take this test and you get a 92 on your own.
Yeah. Back to the drug testing thing. I want to go into a little bit of, I don't know, player experience with that. So when we were brought into the program, and this could get dicey too, but I don't want to make it dicey. I don't want to make assumptions, but I'll say this. When you're brought into the program, you meet Chris Landit. I think she's still the person doing the drug test, probably. She's the lady you see at 4:30, 5 in the morning, sitting at the table in the complex. Oh, you're on the piss list. Start drinking because you got to pee. She comes in and meets with the freshmen. And you are told this. Everyone right now has a clean slate. If after this single meeting and this single chance that I'm about to give you, you test, that is when you start, right? But in that meeting, every freshman that's brought in, every new player that's brought into the program is given a get out of jail free card. If you snorted coke before you walked into that meeting, or if you were smoking weed the night before, or if Blake Trulick was fucking doing, TRT and Clen before that, everyone got one chance to kind of anonymously text Chris, the drug lady, the drug test lady, and say, hey, I'm pretty sure I'm not clean. The procedure was then to get a free test that no one found out about except for her or whoever tested. And then from that point forward, you get to move on clean slate. So you get one freebie. I got a feeling large amount of people decided to opt in on that freebie. Right. And
I just think guys who tested positive once got tested more often. Guys who were a 138-pound kicker who've been tested 3 times and never tested positive probably wasn't testing too often after that.
I got tested 25 times, so take it what you
want. Did you actually count?
I think it was 24. I'm very confident in saying 24, but, what's 24 to 20 to 25,
Yeah, so I don't know about the I don't know about the drug testing. Any other spots in this thing that you guys thought were interesting? For me, there was one spot. They did talk about the shakes. They talked about body weight. Body weight was a big topic.
Yeah, the people who interviewed me were very curious about the body weights.
Yeah. Let's find that drug testing concerns. How long was your interview, Kev?
It was probably a half hour to 40 minutes or so. And, they just pretty much went down the line of what you see in the report and ask you a lot about them. Like some of the topics I wasn't asked about, like they didn't ask me a whole lot about dress code, but, body weights, the Iowa way, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
What your interactions were with the coaches, your relationships with the coaches. Had you ever seen, like, people being bullied or disparaging remarks, stuff like that. And it was a pretty thorough interview. I just gave my accounting of my time.
Yeah. So here's the making weight section. Numerous players discussed the pressure they felt to maintain the requisite weight.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you're expected to be at the weight that they expect you at.
Right. Right. Two players, one current, one former, reported that coaches subjected them to unfair and unreasonable weight expectations after being sick, leaving the current player concerned he would be kicked out of the program. The current player said that a white player who was sick and lost weight was treated more favorably. Okay. In my time,
any way to argue that objectively?
I mean, I that's all it is
it's all subjective.
Yeah, I mean that's all it is. I mean, in my time,
if you get mono and like you're out for 2 weeks. When you come back to weigh in, they're not going to expect you to be on body weight.
Yeah, they never did. I mean, it's just they were always pretty cautious, especially with
like guys who like had surgery or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. One former player said he was so anxious about making weight that he involuntarily threw up every morning before weigh-in. Guessing this is Akram.
And I'm guessing it was because you had to intake.
Now, why? So I guess, you know, the whole root of the problem, which they don't really talk about, is a weight expectation realistic? And God, anybody can come fight me on this one, but yeah, weight expectation is realistic. Now, is the window? They talk about the window of
yeah, air. 5 pounds, man.
Yeah, it's really not. It was not a hard thing to do. If you want to play Big Ten football, or any football for that matter,
any sport, man, like
you got to have like, weight on you. It was for safety. The reason Coach Doyle wanted Akram to put on weight is so that if a 240-pound linebacker came through the hole and blasted his ass, Akram wasn't left dead on the field because Akram weighed 180.
I mean, like, it's just sport in general. Any sport, you're going to have your ideal playing weight where you're going to get the best performance.
Right. So being anxious, he was so anxious about making weight. Well, that anxiety comes from the worry that you're not going to make it. So you got to read into a little bit and figure out, like, okay, well, this guy's right. Not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Well, I'm just going to say this. Like, the coaches frowned upon chugging to make weight because that's bullshit weight. That's not real weight.
No.
You have a week to make body weight. So if you're 180 and you had to be, you know, 180 again next week, well, make sure you eat throughout the week and you'll be okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, the former player who had trouble gaining weight after being sick said, you know, I'm still assuming this is Akram, but the former player who had trouble gaining weight after being sick said a coach told him, "You don't care, you are lazy." Checks out.
All I'm going to say is that there is an endless amount of calories to put in your body at that building.
So. Mm-hmm. A current player identified that it is difficult to maintain his body weight over breaks because he does not have the same access to food when he's at home for extended periods.
Now, that one I'm actually sympathetic for. I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah, I agree. But when we come back from breaks, you get a little extra cushion sometimes. At least they did when, you know, you don't get 15 pounds of cushion, Terrence. You don't get 15.
Especially not the wrong way.
But, you know, you might get 5 or you might get an extra couple days to get back there. So there's that. One of the coaches confirmed that the strength conditioning staff was strict on body weight and that players had anxiety about body weight. Yeah. I mean, in my mind, this is just one of those things that's like, hey, you're big boy now. We got some things to do. And this is one of those things that's pretty proven.
I had anxiety about my body weight.
So did I. Everyone did. And it was a necessary anxiety. Not even anxiety. It was more of just a concern. It was like, this is part of my life. This is part of my job.
In my mind, it just forced you to do things correctly.
Right.
And it's for your good.
It's for your own good.
Everything that we did had a purpose behind it. You know, from dress code, body weight, you know, how you conducted yourself. And I think that we could have done a better job of explaining why we did the things.
Important, yeah. Other than just saying this is important. Right. The sleep band stuff was interesting to me.
Yeah, that started after we had left. So they started wearing sleep bands.
Now, again, for me, man, this is just – this one seems pretty straightforward, pretty undiscriminatory. Like, hey, if you want, I've told my story on the podcast. I slept 5 hours a night my freshman year, and I did not meet my lifting goals that freshman year. In the easiest year to make insane gains in lifting and strength and conditioning was the least amount of gains I made over any year because I did not sleep. I mean, we could go into it. Us three all know but sleep is just insanely important. So expecting good sleep, or at least expecting to track sleep and kind of monitor that, doesn't seem like a stretch for me. Many players described having to wear sleep bands, which they said was a very negative experience and caused lots of anxiety. I mean, this goes back to like your parents just telling you to go to bed. Hey, guy, if you get your sleep, if you just put the phone down and go to bed, then there's no anxiety. Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying. At the same time, though, like, I think that we may have taken just a little too far with how much we were getting to each of you guys' private lives. Just a little bit there.
I'm with like, Kevin here. I didn't like the sleep bands. I thought back when they were getting described to me by players, I was like, wow, that's horse shit. Like, I would be absolutely furious, because I was furious about the heart rate straps.
We did the iFleet, so we had to measure our heart rate variation as soon as we woke up. And, it was just annoying. But
are you furious about repercussion, or are you furious about the
monitor? It's annoying, and it's like, dude, like, give me a little bit of privacy. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, just a little bit. Like, sleep's important. It's like one of the most important parts of being an athlete is getting good quality sleep.
Of just living life, yeah.
Right. I think, you know, you should just be able to emphasize that to your athletes and, you know, not have to big brother them. So
okay. We don't disagree, but I guess we're on a little, slightly different sides, because I think, man, to gain an edge on your opponents, like if your whole team's sleeping 8 hours, I'll take the team.
Oh, yeah, of course. There's no doubt that a team that sleeps better is going to have an advantage over a team that doesn't. I'm just saying, this is just one area where I'm just like, it's a little much for me.
And they did say that that from now on, it's going to be more private, the results of that, and it won't result in any punishment. It's just an educational positive thing that they're trying to implement, because it is very important. So I want to finish on, there's a lot more to the report, but I want to finish on the Iowa way. Which is kind of, if you go back and listen to the podcast we did originally, is probably what hurt Kevin and I the most. And I'll read a little bit about it. Every individual we interviewed was familiar with and described the concept of the Iowa way. As witnesses explained to us, the Iowa way is the phrase used to describe the philosophy instilled in players to guide their actions in all aspects of their participation in Iowa football. Head coach Ferentz explained that the way Iowa way is the football program's mode of operation. He has three goals for each player within the program: earn a degree, maximize abilities as a football player, and have a fulfilling college experience. Head coach Ferentz also explained that an educational program called the Iowa Way was initiated in 2019 for the incoming freshmen on the team. Six of the position coaches give talks to players about critical elements for success, including academic, athletic, and social success. Coach Doyle also referenced the new educational program, explaining it is used to teach the values and standards of what makes successful athletes. While no interviewee provided us with a formal definition of the Iowa Way, current and former players provided the following descriptions of its meaning. So these are player comments on the Iowa way. Tough, smart, physical, disciplined, regimented, hardworking, their way or the highway, grind it out, no excuses, do not speak up about things, follow the rules and stay in line, don't get in trouble, do things the right way, put the team before yourself and stay humble, no nonsense, show up, don't complain, don't have an attitude, be quiet and do what you're told, fly under the radar, don't be flashy. And then the last one is a way to conform and be normal. So there's about three negative ones in there. Their way, well, I guess that could be perceived as negative. Their way or the highway? Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. That's absolute facts.
Is that a bad thing?
No. Nope. I don't think so. And I think this is where the perception comes in, because as an 18-year-old kid, you come in you think you're going to do it your way, huh? You know how to make it.
You joined our team.
Yeah. Right?
This is how we do things.
Right. And I get that. A lot of people don't like that. It comes to this whole conformity thing, right? Conformity is the bad word here. And I'll be the first.
No, I was talking with Miguel, and he had this, you know, this sentence that I just really loved. You give up a part of yourself for something greater.
Mm-hmm. And actually, there's one like that. Put the team before yourself and stay humble.
I liked all of them up until like the last three.
Right. So the one said, do not speak up about things. And again, as I said in the initial podcast after this all came out, we probably did have a too tightened down culture where it was so tight that anyone who wanted to speak probably felt better to just kind of not. And I agree that that's something that definitely should be worked on, and sounds like it has been worked on.
But at the same time, go back to the statistics, 90% plus said they felt comfortable going to the head coach or the position coach.
Right, right, you know? So it's a little conflicting. Follow the rules, stay in line, don't get in trouble. Seems pretty straightforward. Be quiet and do what you are told. Be quiet and do what you are told. Well, be quiet. Sure.
I wasn't quiet. That's for
don't damn. Be. I don't know about be quiet. Like, what do you mean by be quiet? Like, don't speak up or.
I think it kind of goes with the next one. Fly under the radar and don't be flashy. Don't make noise. Don't make noise. And then the last one is a way to conform and be normal. Way to conform and be normal. I come back to this part where, and maybe this is where a lot of it got messed up. A lot of the players, black or white, did not realize or still do not realize the amount of conformity, even in a good program, or not, that's poor terms, in a healthy program that has everything going right, that, you know, where players feel like they can do a bunch, you're gonna have to conform, my guy. You're gonna have to, a little bit, like Miguel said, you're giving up part of yourself. Because when it comes back to this, punch a guy with an open fist with five fingers that are trying to be themselves, it ain't gonna turn out well for you. But you put those together, everybody comes together for the greater good. I don't punch people, but, you know, people who do.
The sum is greater than the individual parts.
Yeah. So is conformity a tough thing to deal with? Yes. But is some amount of conformity necessary? You ask Tyler Kluver, he says, yeah. Those are the players' comments. Down to the coaches, tough, smart, physical, discipline, accountability, structure, giving great effort, doing things that are hard, doing things the right way, showing up and doing your work the best that you can, doing little things right that create a competitive edge to help create success, being responsible.
I love how I basically know who said each and every one of those.
I know. Being responsible, accountable, caring, and caring more about others than yourself. Oh, if I could delve into that one for a little bit, but I won't.
I think it's about time that, you know, we put this thing to rest.
Yeah. I mean, here's my thoughts.
We say our piece and we bury it.
Here's my thoughts on the entire thing.
These are your last thoughts. This is the last time I want to talk about this.
This is it. This is it right here. And it's mostly about the report and the findings. Again, it was just regurgitated. It softened all the tweets up, put them into a professional format. It seems to me with the percentages that these guys found, the description of the IOA from the players, conformity was a little bit, not a little bit, conformity was the issue. Players did not understand what they were getting into. Early on in a player's career, that type of conformity and having to, frankly, you know, the conformity, because there was conformity from black and white players. Like, believe me, and I'm sure you guys would echo, you guys conformed, I conformed. It's not like
we were not perfect as freshmen.
Right. It's not like
far from it.
It's not like our black teammates were the only ones that are conforming here. It just was a much bigger stretch that they had to kind of run than we did, or some of us did. And so I think that's where the information about why things are important and why rules are the way they are, the real issues of racial stuff that really kind of even came up in the report were basically the stuff that black players wanted, t-shirts, or the way they wore their clothes, their earrings, their hair. That was kind of the, what I would call insensitive, racially insensitive stuff that kind of, as time has gone on and we've grown as a society, that's the stuff that Iowa football did not change or adapt well with, and should have before this point. But addressing those, the hair stuff, the earrings, the music, all of that stuff, little things, easy fix, easy fix, easy fix. And then basically all that was left, I mean, Doyle's gone. 90% of players are happy with the coaches. The only thing that's left is players feeling like they can be themselves. And it sounds like, and it was their finding as well, that most feel that that's where we're going. So it all seemed, quote me on it, blow me up. It seemed like, you know, and Twitter does this, Twitter's inevitably going to do it. It all seemed a little bit pour gas on the fire. Let's have some fun. Anyone who wants to see Iowa football burn, let's see if we can burn it. And now after the report comes out, it's kind of like, okay, well, we've fixed a few things. We've caught up to the times socially, and we've got plans in place, and we're moving forward. It seems like it was maybe just a tad overblown, but those are just my thoughts. And I'm never saying anything about it again.
That's it.
That's it.
It's your piece. It's done.
That's it.
Drake, you want to go?
I don't really got much to say, man. When you're right, you're right. And I let people bury us for a long time. You know, we were getting buried right along next to those coaches by the vocal minority. And that's okay. I'm speaking to the vocal minority. To our army, I love you. To those of you that are on the edge of being in the army, but you're more just like
grab a rifle, baby.
Just a backup dancer. We would love for you to grab a rifle and go to war with us.
We're calling up the militia, baby.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm a long way from Iowa, but I love Iowa football. I love my coaches. I can't be more thankful for the man that they turned me into. You know, I was a little boy when I walked in there, and I would like to think that I grew up a lot because of those individuals. I go to war for my guys, and I just told you so.
Truth prevails in the end.
I can't tell you how happy I am to finally put this behind us. So, you know, we had a problem. Black players were leaving at a higher rate, a bad rate, than white players. We had a very strict and disciplined program that is a shock to adjust to, in addition to the shock of going to college. And from the conversations I had, it's like, okay, yeah, it's probably going to be harder for a black student athlete to adjust than a white student athlete. And I think we talked about it in our first podcast. It's harder for them to adjust. And we were probably a little too hard in general on first year players. And once you get in that doghouse, it's a hard place to get out of. And, you know, a year and a half later, you can't put up with it anymore. And you feel like you're probably better off going somewhere else. So I think there's a lot that we can learn from it, but at the end of the day, I don't believe that any of the coaches had it in their hearts to mistreat or to run black players out, to you know, give opportunities to white players that black players didn't have. I just can't believe it from all the conversations that I had, from all I've read. I just, there's just nothing that can make me believe that. Because all those coaches wanted to put the best football team on the field as possible and to make those boys at 18, like Drake said, into the best men that they could be at 22, so that when they left the program, they could go be, get a successful job, be a good husband, be a good father. You know, KF just loves hearing stories about like how players went on to be wildly successful outside of football. And that's what he wanted for all of his players. And KF said in his press conference today, he's like, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with their experience, but everyone deserves a fair chance to succeed here. So, you know, it's definitely a learning opportunity. I think the Hawks are going to be better for it moving forward. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've said it since June. You know, the report confirms it again. The guys in the locker room, they feel really good about where the program's at. They feel really good about their coaches, and they feel real comfortable right now. So I'm excited to see where Hawkeye football can go from here. I'm excited to put this in the past. And I think we're all excited to see this one be put to bed. And, you know, go Hawks, man. Go Hawks.
Kevin Ward, everybody. Kevin Ward. Now, real quick before we end this podcast, on a lighter note, our three opinions right now, August 3rd, Monday, is coming. It's near. What does Luka Garza do? Is Luka Garza in a Hawkeye uniform? With the balance of college basketball and college football as well, to throw it all in there, Corona, COVID, doing everything it's done, will there be a season? Is Luka Garza an Iowa Hawkeye, or is he off to the NBA in 3 days? What do you guys think? I think he's coming back, boys.
He was coming back before Corona, and I think this is going to make him leave.
National champions 2021, print the shirts, baby. He's coming back.
Let's go. Walk on Army, episode 133. This will be the only episode. This is coming out on Monday. This is the only episode of the week. Tech guys on vacation. Hope you guys enjoy the week. Go Hawks. Kirk's Dogs. Hawks by a million. Advantage.
Cancel us.
Advantage Iowa. That's it. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.